session number 23200, reel 12.
Mr. Kidger, reel 12. We were talking about when you were aboard at HMS St. Kitts and you'd gone to Norway on a trip. What was the purpose of going to Norway, I mean, for the ship?
Well, the idea was taking over a core, taking the ships back with the battle class destroyers, to show the people of Norway what power we had and what sort of ships we had built in the area. It gave them a bit of confidence, you know, because they had been under Nazi rule and had been visited by any sort of peace ships, you know. What they had seen and what they didn't see was ships were sunk in the fjords, you know, together. And they were glad to see what they were glad to see people from Britain liberating, you know, what happened, you know, with the Germans, getting rid of the Germans and stuff, yeah. They were just too pleased. And that was it was just a case of going there, you know. And what was it arranged with St. Kitts was is to do what you call a trip into different ports. And the other one, when we left Norway, and we was what it called taking we were told to go to, we would be going into the what I call it the into Germany, and we would go up the Kiel Canal. Now, by going up the Kiel Canal, we'd be stationed in Kiel, and we'd be taking what you call a duty from another ship that had been in there. We'd be in there for a month. Now the idea was it was going to be his base in what I call it, in Kiel for the German what I call it, youth to come on board and be what you call a walking party. In other words is the idea going there for a month and each British ship that went in, they were sending the youth out of Germany onto the ships and each what I call it partnership had so many youth and were told to make them walk. They give them as like punishment. And the idea was what to give them a scrum brush, what to give them a bucket of water, and what they had to do, they had to scrub the overstructure. And scrub and scrub and scrub. No chipping, no scraping, just scrub and scrub and scrub. And what a court thing. Now, with being on a what I call the quarter deck, we had equivalent of 20. Now, there was 10, was split up with two mess decks, 10 and 1 mess deck, which was like port, another one in starboard, 10. Now, what we were told, they would be given 3 meals. Now, the 3 meals would be included in the what we call a lodging allowance, because the St. Kitts was built on canteen messing. You know what you call canteen messing was? You got 2 and tenpence per day, per rating, and the whole of the money was clubbed together, and it allowed you to go to the canteen and choose whatever grub you want. And whatever your grub you choose, you had to, what I call, prepare it, and then you took it up the galley. The chef in the galley, he looked after it, cooked it and brought it down. So it gives you what you call a variety of different things. What you had to do in a mess deck was for use for the turnout, you prepare your own menu.
Now, did you prefer this method?
Yes.
Why did you prefer it? What was so good about
well,
it?
Well, the thing is, because you had, when it come to what I call it, there was what I call it, in our mess deck, there was 25 of us. I was on what you call a miscellaneous section with different trades, you know. The dot was on me, you would have caught the number you missed it. Now, the idea was, if being canteen messing was, 2 years had to prepare, what I call it, your grub. Now, you could be, what I call it, you could be 2 Geordies, it could be 2 Scotsmen, it could be 2 Lancashire, 2 Irish, Wales, a different place later. Or different parts of the country, wherever they came from. Now, what the idea was a thing of ideas of prepare most of the meal you had. Now, Lancashire people, they like Lancashire tart, you know, which was a crusty, what I call it, pastry with the thick layer of what I call it, jam on the bottom of it, and about 2 or 3 inches of custard on, you know. Now, that was what you call a sweet, but they had what you call a Lancashire pot. Now, what went in their pot was different veg, different stuff that we, you know. Now, Jody, not one, you know, I mean, we have our own, what I call, you know, we love our Yorkshire puddings and stuff, yeah. Now, that was the reason why we had, what I call, with the canteen medicine, you got a variety. But on general medicine, the only variety you got is what the chef drew up. And what the chef drew up, the whole of the ship's company got the same. But I said on canteen medicine, you could have a new, what I call, on port, what I call port, say, port one, would be different from starboard one. They could have their varieties than what, and it was, which was better for us, better for everybody. And then again, it was like, you knew exactly how much money you had, that one. Now what happened was, we had 2 and 10 per day, was based on what you call a 3 month quarterly. So when the quarter came up, the killer that was in charge of your mess, he used to go up and he was given the what I call it, a receipt saying how much money he owed the canteen and how much money we had. And when he compared the two together, if you were in debt and you owed the canteen to him, you paid it out your own pocket, which is your wages. If you are what I call it, you saved money, you automatically got that money back off the canteen and it was shared among what I call it, your mess deck. Now, there's another advantage about the thing in this either. But the biggest advantage about you got a different variety of things. We enjoyed it, we stuffed that one, everything was that one. But anyway, apart from that, going back to what I call it, the keel. Now, these lads were sent aboard. Now, we got allowance for them, exactly what allowance we were getting for our group, they say. Now, we had to make them scrub and scrub and scrub, and we had to stand and watch them. What was the most boring thing to stand and watch lads scrubbing bit and paintwork, and he knew it was, they would never get it off, not with water, you know. But we had to make it was a punishment, that one, and we had to make sure that thing was. The lads were, what I call it, they never bothered with it. We couldn't speak German. We could make signs, and it's not yet that one, you know. And they were, what I call it, they weren't lazy. I think they were more frightened than anything else. And it's not yet, you know. But they had to do this and had to do that. And when he took them, you know, all I had was torn. As I say, I had me torn myself. I'd tell the minister, yeah. And I said, take them different parts of the upper structure. And scrubbing this not, you know. And I was glad to give him a bit metal, but do a little bit brasswork. It was a change, you know. It was the most boring thing to see anybody scrum, you know, ordinary water and scrum brush and scrum that they want. But that was a punishment. But anyway, we used to have run shows in Kiel with it. And in Kiel, the people there, as I say, it was a places were being bombed in, it's not your arena. It wasn't a hardy place, what I could call home, you know. They were living in bombed places, you know. But I found out when you were going, when you went ashore, we found out, you know, there was a lot of people were looking for to buy cigarettes. Now, they couldn't, what I call, money was no good because their money, well, it was washed out to stop using it. They brought fresh country in to stop the black market. So what they used to do, they used to say to you, do you want a what I call it, you know, camera? Do you want a wireless or you want a what I call it, you know, anything for cigarettes? Now the idea with getting cigarettes was they could get anything on the black market. Butter, meat, tea, that one. cigarettes, you could get, Germans could buy anything. And they used to love us, they would have called it, the barter with them. And when we went to shores, I see we used to pass this like a forest, part of a forest. And it was fascinating, you know, because the lads used to know us. You used to pass the three trees there. And the next thing, there was figures standing alongside the trees, you know, pointing the thing, you know, come over and it's like, yeah, you know. Well, they were whistling. So we thought, well, we'll go across and find out what the matter was, you know. And there was one or two of them could speak a little bit English. They said they couldn't, what I call it, come out from behind the tree. Why, what's it what for? Because he says the police, the military police, seen them, they were taken away, you know, for, in a prison camp. That's their story. Because they weren't allowed to barter with anything. But they could take us, you know. They could walk away, and we would have to follow them, and it would take them to whatever they called home at the time, you know, and see things, you know. But they couldn't walk alongside with. We would have to follow them in the city there. Anyhow, there was, as I say, we was walked around now in a group of six. I don't know why six mates. But anyhow, we thought, we'll follow this, what do I call it, this German. He took in the house. We went in the, what I call the room. Invited to his wife, and he had three kids. Well, the three kids were sitting, listening to the wireless. You know, because there's no television nowadays. They were sitting at the wireless, there was something going away, so we couldn't make heads or tails of it. But the kids were listening to it, you know. And he pointed to them, anything, you know, you want that one, you know. Well, one of the lads, what I call it, he fancied the wireless, you know. And he said, what you want for that? He wanted 100 cigarettes, it was like 5 packets of cigarettes. No way. He says, I'll give you half, I'll give you 50, you know. Anyhow, the German wouldn't take it. So he says, well, no, what I call it, no wireless, no cigarettes, and we're going to walk out. And he shouted back. He says, 60. Nah, he says, I'll give you 50. So at the finish, the German gave in and gave him 50 cigarettes. He got the cross, gets a hold of wireless, what I call it, grabs a hold of it, and gives it, what I call it, one of the other lads. And I could see the tears in the three, what I call it, his sons, or his, I don't know, his sons or daughters, because they were dressed in old clothes and that. The tears in their face, and that one. I got outside, and I says, there's something I would never, never do. I says, I couldn't do, you know. It's like taking. Give the kid a bar of chocolate, enjoying a bar of chocolate, and going in and thinking about one. And you mightn't believe me, we got what I call it, we got halfway along the road, he had the wireless on his arm, and he broke out in tears. He says, what's the matter with you now? He got a bag and he got the thing on. But he says, I'll have to go back. He says, I haven't got the heart to take it, you know. So we went back to the house. You know, and the German bloke, he said, well, it's no good, well, it's no good. He says, here, keep the wireless and keep the cigarettes and thing at one, you know. And he says, that we saw the three kids, what do you call it, jump up, you know, joy, you know, in their faces, they were getting the wireless back, you know. And I thought, you know, well, to go to somebody's house and say, you know, to come in and say, I'll take your telly away, you know, it'll break my heart. Would be anybody starting, is it? Yeah, and that was the thing. But that was a bad. I did make one or two good things. I got a white coated plate camera. It was the old one on tripods in the city, yeah. I wish I had a day, I could have made some money off it. And it was what I call it, this plate, you know. Thing. I brought that to him, and I brought, what I call it, one of the pocket watches. It was an armour plated one, you know. A lot of the Germans used to wear, you know, in a hard pocket, you know, in case I got hit with a bullet and set your ear now. Where that went, I don't know. Well, had what I call it, there was going to be a run ashore up to Hamburg from Kiel, but it would be by bus. So long way in the bus it was, and all the roads were covered at the time. But anyhow, we would have a run out in Hamburg in that one. So we had a day out in Hamburg in this night, you know, and I happened to get what I call it, a toy dog, you know. I said, I'll get some near for something that one. Anyway, I bought one or two, but then I got this toy dog in the state, you know. And where they come from, I can't remember, but they were German. It's a German toy dog made there, you know. And I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't any stores. It was brand new, it was, you know. And it was scarce to get a hold of, you know, at the time. I can't remember what I paid for it at the time. Because the new currency, you know, is the German mark at the time, you know, because we got them on board a ship. We want to use their money because their money was no value. So, but I got that, if you want. I still got that today, you know, because I brought it to him for me when my mother passed it on the wife, you know. And we still got that today, which is over, what? 50 odd years ago, you know, longer, you know. So, yeah. But anyway, we came out the Kiel after having the mud there. We came back to this country. Now, we came back to the Portland. Now, when we were in Portland, we were told we're going to do what you call a summer cruise, you know. Now, the summer cruise would start from where I live up here. In this area would be Blyth. Well, Blyth is not a seaside resort, you know, but anyhow, I had to go and make a visit because the ship was built in the town, and the nearest thing was Blyth. Well, I thought, well, South Shields has got a beach, Tynemouth has got a beach, but there was no lady pulling alongside. Blyth had, because I had a dock there, you know, so we went to Blyth. And we had a week there, you know. It was the most boring, bitten week of my life. Especially when I lived only a few miles away to get to him. You know, I didn't get to him. We had visitors going aboard the ship, just like when the ships come into the town. People come and visit, you know, going to the ship, they say. Anyway, we left Blyth. And we were told our next work base would be Whitby. So we couldn't go into Whitby, but it was to be off the coast of Whitby, which would be a mile off, you know, and it'd be Liberty Boats go ashore and be taken. And also, there would be people from Whitby and Scarborough and their quarters would be coming visiting the ship, and the ship had to be showing off, the ship's company had to show the public around the ship and say, yeah, in other words, they had more access to the ship than what they have today. In other words, they could go in the mess decks, profane, what do I call it? You had to get permission because, you know what I mean, people had to get changed dresses, you know. But anyway, it's the same. We went ashore, run ashore to that one, you know. And what part of the ship's company, I was on starboard at the time, you know. And I was ashore, and we got, what do I call it, at night time, we got word, what do I call it, we couldn't get bored. And we're told, what I call it, we'd have to get lodgings there. Well, late at night was the case of finding lodgings, you know. So somebody suggested using the church, go and see the vicar, you know. So we went to see the vicar, it was about 25 altogether. Went to the church, you know, seen the vicar. We said, well, can I get aboard a ship? Because the Liberty Boats kind of come out, kind of dock, you know, where I get lodgings, there's any places, you know, he says, have you tried the police? Which is over Vasta police, but they didn't seem any know anyway. He said, well, the only place I can do, I can put you up in the church, you know, if you don't mind. He says, you just have to sleep on the pews, you know. He says, it'll be two to a pew, you know, because they're big enough, you know. So says, well, there's some way to stop this, that you're here, you know. So he says, I can make you what I call, you know, a drink, you know, that one. He says, that'd be cool, you know, oh, God, like, getting quota bullshit. But anyway, what well, a cup of quota, he put what I call it in the church in the city, you know. We said to him, you know, will you wake up in the morning, you know? He says, don't worry, he says, I'll wake you up in the morning, he says, don't worry that one, you know. So as I say, it was 25 waiting, sleeping in the church on the pews and that, you know. As I say, 6 o'clock in the morning, yeah, like the big bells start to ring. Well, we wouldn't wonder where we were. Well, when you're clapping the bells and that, you know, we all thought we were in the middle of a cemetery. You know, we all jumped up because it was strange, you know, being in the place and that one. And he come in, he says, I'm glad I got you up. You see the big boats just coming in, you know, pick his up, you know. And we were glad to get back aboard the ship, you know, because sleeping on hard pews and getting something decent to drink aboard the ship, and say, you know. And then we left there, and then we went to, after spending a week there, it would be, I'll say this, we discovered, we went down, what I call it, down to South End. So had a week down South End. Well, one of the lads on our deck, you know, he's come around with a 6 foot. He was, what I call it, he was a quack. We used to call him Doc because he was, he used to say, he had what I call it, you know, the sig bait. He was classed as a doctor on board a ship, but they're going to class as quacks, you know. But anyway, was that saying, he was come around with those 6 of us since that year, you know. So, when we're down, what I call it, down the South End, and it's like, yeah, it's that the same thing happened down there, you know. We made off this, what I call it, out of South End, and the boats used to bring, what I call it, used to bring the civilians aboard a ship. Now, the what I call it, the skippers of the boats that was there, they used to, what I call it, they were getting paid, you know, off each visitor. But we didn't get paid. All we done on the gangway, it's out on board a ship, you know. But there were what you call ladders hung over the side. They hadn't part the claim, but it's far enough, depending on the size of the boat that came in. Well, the skippers of the boat used to be lined up outside the bit and what I call outside, waiting to come alongside. And they always had a crafty one, you know, it's just slip your 10-bomb note, you know. Wave was in force, you know. Because the more he got in, the way he got again, got another plane brought on board the ship. But anyhow, as I say, I mean, the dock on the board would have caught, you know, I mean, still got his photo, still got his name and stuff, you know, I mean, that one. He got, what I call, a woman came aboard, I can also remember, because he said aboard, you know, that one. And she was expecting me, you know, at the time, you know. And, he's what I call it, he's come with a low spear, speaking for me. Because I used to help him in the sick bay, you know. So I goes down, I says, what's the matter? He says, well, I've got what I call it, he says, a woman here, she's expecting any time, you know. She says, what am I going to do? I says, I didn't know what to do, because I didn't know. But what I call it, you know, childbirth or anything like that, you know. I says, got him a speaker, and that's for a duck, you know. She's a doctor aboard, you know. He says, but I'm a doctor. But I says, you're not asking me. I says, I'm not qualified. You're not qualified, you know. I says, sure, well, there must be somebody on a ship, no motorboat than no one. Fortunately, we went on, and there was a nurse. The visitor was on. And she, what I call it, that brought her down, what I call it, the sink bay, you know. So, he says, what I call it, the doctor, you know, he says, so hang outside, he says, don't you go anywhere. I says, I'm on the gangway, man. I says, I'm on duty that one. I says, somebody just is standing for me at the moment. He says, hang on that one. But anyhow, what I call it, he come out, and then he left the nurse inside the sick bay, you know. He says, the next time, he says, you bring him past the one, ask them, when you fetch them aboard, especially women, he says, if they're expecting, don't let them on. I say, this is a funny question to ask again. Woman getting on a thing, you know. Are you expecting, if you expect, you kind of get aboard? No. Why he says he can use your own judgment, you know. I said, I'm just throwing them on, man. I said, Liberty Post, I said, I'm just throwing them on. They get their money, you know. I said, I wasn't so keen to take them off because it's that big of a queue to take off. But I said, they were slinging them on and stuff, you know. But anyways, I say, we did, we get, what do I call it, at the South End, and then we did a week at Margate. Oh, it's another, what do I call it, a really short thing, man. The same thing happened down there, you know. Well, we'll be in Margate in that one. We've got a lot of running shows in this night, you know. So the doctor used to say to me, you know, he was one of the six who's go out night time, you know, the crowd. And he says, I can't get away at 4 o'clock because he says, I've got a, what do I call it? He says, a tapas for. He says, I've got a, what do I call it? He says, a sick room, you know, reporting for sick, no, treating patients, and stuff like that. So I said, what are we going to do? So the other, what do I call it? The other four says, well, look, we go show and we'll use two up, you see. I says, why me? He says, well, he can help the doctor get through his patients. That one, you know. I says, I don't know much about first aid. He says, God bless. He says, you would have caught you. He's taught you more. I says, I looked at his books and he says that and read his big books. But I says, it didn't put me as a, how to treat patients and stuff, yeah, you know. He says, well, we'll see you as a show. You come and show that one. Well, anyhow, 4:30 come. And then comes over, I call it, the sick parade, 4:30. Because they come after I had a dinner at night in. So, come up, first one, what's wrong? Sore throat. So the doctor says, well, you can teach him. I says, treat him. I says, well, give him. He says, there's a pencil brush. And there's what I call it, there's a Joe iodine in, he says, dip it in there, and he says, he shows what I do. Dip his big pencil brush, took me open his mouth, that one, and he painted the back of his tonsils with a big iodine, you know. He says, that'll cure the sore throat, that one. I says, have I got to do that? He says, aye. He says, my next is keep his fingers in his jaws of his mouth, because if he comes down with his teeth and taps the big brush, you know, he says, may swallow it, you know, that one. Well, I dipped the brush in, painted the back of his tonsils, that one. That's how he tried picking people with sore throats, you know. I said, what else did he do? He says, constipation, he says, I give him number nines, you know. He says, make them go to the toilet, you know. He says, loosen them, you know. I says, what do you do for, I says, what do you do for, what do you call it? I says, with backaches. People, you know, that's got aches and all this stuff. He says, I'll give them number nines, you know. Number nines, I said, for packets. He says, well, he says, it makes them run faster at the toilet. And he says, it was a good cure for them. But he says, when you give them it, you've got guarantee they wouldn't be there the next night with a backache. He says, oh, it's an excuse to get off duties in this night, you know. So I said, what I call it was one lad came in and he had, what I call it, his foot, he couldn't move it, you know. He says it was like pains, you know, and this, that, you know. So he told me to, he's, what I call it, sock off and everything, that when he checked his foot out, you know, and he couldn't see him out, but he said he could give him, what I call it, you know, some ointment you need to put on, you know, that one, you know, like they call it salve, you know, this is that, you know, that one. And he's, after what I call, explaining what you're doing with them, he says to me, the next one that comes in, he says, what I call it, he says, with a knee on a foot, he says, stand on a toe. I said, what in the world, stand on a toe for? He said, but stand on a toe, he said, it made it red, because I says, I can treat that, because I can see it. But he says, I kind of treat a knee because I don't know what to say, you know. I say, kid. And this way he said, treat the, what do you call it, the patient now. But